Yeah.
Hello and welcome back to the Jones Chronicles. I am your host, Christina. We are back for our special edition of Between Two Black Queens. We have Shy and Mimi here. Ladies, how you be?
Hello, I'm doing well.
I'm doing good.
That is good to hear. We have some topics we want to discuss. Some of us brought our own. Some of us came empty-handed. Like a beggar in the street. But that's okay. That's okay.
We're not naming names. So
let's we're not dropping any names. But it may begin with sh and I. But yeah, we're gonna discuss a few topics we've come to digest between these two women. So our first topic is gonna be the natural black hair life, something Mimi is feeling very personally. Why is that, Mimi?
Well, I will say that I stopped getting my hair relaxed when Derek was born, like when I was pregnant. So it's been like 14 years. And normally I just get sew-ins or braids, but I have very fine hair and like the braids were pulling out my like edges. So I was like, let me stop. And I'm never going to learn how to do my hair if I keep getting sew-ins. So I told myself that I would go natural for 3 months. And I've been just buying different products, trying to get my curls to look normal, like I see online all the time. And then I was like, oh, I'll dye my hair. I dyed it. It looked nice. Then I was like, oh, I should get my hair straightened, a silk press. I see people do that all the time. So I got a silk press and it looked fine, but it just got really frizzy. And I was like, I don't want to keep putting this heat in my hair. So I was just like, wash the silk press out. It didn't wash out. Now I got heat damage and my hair won't fucking curl. So yeah. My hair looks like it's been relaxed, but it hasn't. It's just heat damage. So this is the struggle that I got. Like I was so mad at my curls and now they're fucking gone. And I'm just sitting here bamboozled and confused.
So my first question, so if you're doing natural, does that mean no chemicals whatsoever? Because I thought natural was no chemicals, no heat, no nada. Like it's basically just you.
That's and... not what I mean. I don't know what other people mean. Natural to me means you don't have any relaxer in your hair.
Okay.
Like people straight.
That was my understanding too. You just don't, you're not putting a relaxer in your hair anymore. You're not putting chemicals. That was my thinking. You're not putting chemicals in your hair.
Yeah, you just let it be at its natural state. Yeah. And it's just what all a silk press is a deep condition, and then they straighten, like they blow dry it and then straighten with the flat iron. So theoretically, when you wash your hair, your curls should come back. But my hair is already fine, and I'm sure it being dyed made it more vulnerable to getting heat damage, because it's really just the ends, not like the top part, which is where like the dye is already starting to like grow out. But it's just I don't even know what to do. Like, let me just get my sew-ins back, I guess. I quit.
Well, did you have bleach in there in the dye?
I didn't dye. I know they had to lighten my hair to put the red in.
Yep, but they bleached it.
Yeah, but my hair was fine before that. It was, I mean, that's my assumption. When they dye your hair, they have to strip the color off. But my hair was still healthy afterwards. I've gotten a silk press before, but it was like months ago. This was the first time since it was dyed.
Chai?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a struggle for me, too. I started going natural 11 years ago when I got out of the military. And yeah, I started out with the twist, what do you call it, Nubian twist. So mm-hmm. I would get that done. And then I moved to, this was in Florida. Then I moved up to Georgia. And then I was doing it some more. And then I decided to stop and just use wear my natural hair. So I wore my natural hair for like a good, until last year. So what, 8 years? Yeah, and I went to back to braids because it was just too much. It's like between working and all the other things that's going on, it was just like that was the last thing I wanted to worry about. And then, as y'all know, I went on the cruise. That was the main thing that prompted it, is going on a cruise and not wanting to deal with my hair while I was there. But I don't know. I'm not that good with hair. I'm not familiar with hair like that. Me so either. I always, every time I'm trying to figure out something, I go ask somebody else.
That's me all the time. I go right to Mimi.
Should we know about
our
hair? Should we be more educated on our hair? And how
I mean, I think that if I grew up with my natural hair, I would have a better understanding of how to do it. But my hair was relaxed without my permission from, you know, as long as I can remember. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I started even trying. Like, I learned how to do, like, twist outs and stuff. And that was from being online. So, like, YouTube videos.
Yeah, I think you could definitely teach her. Like, I keep saying this all the time with three sisters, how the gene to be feminine skipped me because I didn't ever give a shit about my hair.
Me neither.
My mom did my hair up until I was like 16, 17. Shit, maybe be 18 years old. Well, no, I think it was about 17 where she would have the hot comb on the stove. And that's how she would straighten out our hair. But she never used anything other than grease. So we never had a relaxer in her hair. She's very anti-perm, very anti-bleach, all of that shit. And then it wasn't until I made that chemical mistake all those years ago that I was prompted to learn to do something with my own hair. And since I've taken over, the only thing I've done is the hot comb, what do you ever call that?
Mm-hmm. A flat iron?
Is that what you... Flat iron, thank you. I don't even know the name.
Shouldn't be using a hot comb in 2024.
Exactly. That'd be really fucked up. Especially those grease burns to your ear. Those were the worst. Yeah. But yeah, that's how I've always thought of natural, but my sister she's the hair connoisseur, if you will, and she's all about nothing. When she says, like, no chemicals, she makes all the stuff organic, puts it in the girl's hair.
Which sister?
Brittany. How do I always, what's my word for her?
Is she the one that moved into the wilderness for a little bit?
Yes, she's the... She's the organic hippie in the worst possible way. I mean, but she do good with the hair. I can't knock what she's doing with the girl's hair, because though their hair is woo. The other two, I feel like they got a leap up because they're quadroon. But her black daughter, they're looking at me like, what is quadroon?
Why you gotta say her black daughter?
Say quadroon?
All of her daughters are black.
I know, like, the black one, the other ones are not black. Like, yes, they're still black.
Wouldn't all of them be black since they got a black mom?
They're all black, but I'm saying, okay, whatever. Anyhow.
The blackity black one.
The blackity black one.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, she's, like, differentiating between... Go ahead, Christy.
Oh, I should have said two mulatto children and one full Kenyan. She's gorgeous. I love freaking, like she's just the most chocolate, delicious baby. But her hair is like, no, when her hair is ridiculously, but she doesn't put any heat in it. And she considers that to be natural. And I was doing, unfortunately, I went to this hair, I didn't mean to go there, but it was a hair seminar, and they were talking about how keeping heat off your hair is the best way to bring back its natural curls. I don't know if this is factual. I'm not a hair connoisseur at all.
It honestly depends on who you talk to. There are licensed people who would say if you do it the right way, it's not a problem. And heat isn't a problem. It really isn't if your hair is healthy. I would prefer to curl my hair without, a curling iron, but that's not always an option.
I agree. Because I ever since I've been doing my hair on my own, and that's the only thing I taught myself to do, it has been growing exponentially, slowly but surely. And I've always had people say, oh, your hair is healthy. I'm like, what's your secret? I'm like, absolutely fucking nothing. I don't know. I only flat iron it once a month. I wash it and I clean it. That's all I do. I don't.
My hair hadn't put heat on my hair in forever. That was the first time when I got the silk press. I don't curl my hair at all because it's already curly. And I do use a diffuser, but that's only to set the product in that I have when it's like, the curl product. So it'll dry.
I don't know. My hair is so salt and pepper right now. I just want to sew in to hide it. Now, I just want to hide my hair because every time I look at it, it's just like, damn, the grays are taking over. They have broken through the siege and they are taking over any bit of color in my hair. It doesn't matter what I do to try to slow down their ascension. They are just taking over. And while I like these braids, as you see, I've not yet stopped playing with them. I told you that's my huge problem. And then I have all of this grayness. And then my daughter is just so fucking rude because they don't have no chill in this millennia. And they just say whatever the fuck in your mouth. And she's like, damn, from the back, you look like grandma. I was like, get the fuck out of here. So these are not endorsements at all for me to keep getting braids in my hair. So I think this might be the last time. And it wasn't that the girl didn't do. I didn't tell y'all about, oh my God, I haven't even spoken about the nine-hour ordeal called this hair on my head. Yeah. My mother, who's always criticized every hair choice I've ever made, because if it's not her hair choice, then it's the wrong hair choice. So I finally listened to her person, went over. She got me on the east side of the east side where people just hanging out of their car. We in front of this window where I'm starting to feel like at any moment a bullet can come through.
Wait. You went to somebody's house?
No, it was a shop on the east side. But it was like on the east side.
Absolutely.
Like my mother didn't Google it. She know we from the west side. We do not go to certain neighborhoods.
I know in Chicago, if the address has like 7-8 numbers, I ain't fucking going. Absolutely not. That's too far.
She
in the
didn't
hood.
Know.
I'll
she
pass.
Didn't know. She set me up for failure from the beginning. I should have known when I had to park and it was only a one-way street to park. I'm like, fuck.
I would have pulled in, see the area, and canceled my appointment immediately. Fuck
oh
that.
Oh, my
I
God.
Going.
I was like, okay, no, I'm already here, though, because then she kept telling me. She's like, well, you know, it's a little ghetto place, you know. I didn't know how ghetto it was until about 30 minutes in when I started seeing people just hanging out their windows in cars for no reason and screaming at each other. And it seemed to be like a every 30-minute occurrence. Followed by some other people walking past in groups. So, and she kept locking the door. So
oh my God.
Definitely not a place where she felt herself. And I didn't, I love hip hop and R&B, but let me tell you something. 9 fucking hours of the Isley Brothers, R. Kelly, fucking Tina Marie. Nine goddamn hours.
See,
I have only ever needed 4 hours in my life to get my hair done. I
this
know
is how, This is how I know you're an amateur, because you always come with a fully charged phone, your headphones, and some a movie that you need to watch. Don't talk to me, lady. We can do
I'm going to go to sleep. I always say that every time I show up, because I'm always half blitzed and I'm like, okay, this is going to take 4 hours. So I took enough.
You thought braids was going to take 4 hours?
Dude, it's always take. My head is small. I have been to many places. I have for never braids? Been.
My hair is thin and my head is small. It takes 2 packs of hair for my little ass head, and my hair is thin, and it still takes, if I'm getting medium, it might take 6, but 4 hours for some braids those size, girl, you went in there delusional as hell.
I did. I will admit this part, because I was like, no one gave me the fucking memo. No one. Because I would have, at that point, I would have taken, like, she took a break. I would have taken a break. Okay? I would have went out and got me some food. I would have freaking got some Uber Eats. I feel like if I at least been given a timeline. Like, hey, this gonna take about this many hours. So she didn't give me a timeline. And then she made the braids smaller than I even asked, because I asked for medium braids. So she ended up making the braids smaller because she said they fit their face, but she didn't, once again, communicate this to me. So I just kept getting hungrier and thirstier and losing more patience. My neck was all fucking crooked. And I just, every time, it was like one more braid. But not only that, the girl's breath was just on fire. I mean, I don't know what the hell she didn't put in her mouth or did put in her mouth. But she kept fucking blowing and singing at the same time. And I was like, would you stop? Would you just let them sing the goddamn song? Just
so let them sing.
Like, how do you know every fucking song that's coming on? And your hot breath just keep flying in my face, and I ain't got no goddamn mask. I'm like, damn. This was the time. That was the best thing about COVID, is that you did not have to deal with stanky breath, because if your breath is just that, you had a penetrator between them. And then she left out, told me I'll be right back. And then she came back 15 minutes later, just left me in the shop. I was like, I thought she was just going across the street. She came back 15 minutes later. And then the one people came in to sit there, and the one dude was going to the day. It was all going to the Drake concert, apparently more than once. And the one dude was sitting there, and he just kept talking about how he was going with his coworker who bought the tickets, but they wasn't going to be there together, even though she be checking his phone and they work together, and she bought them the tickets, clearly thinking it's a date. And I'm like, why am I listening to this shit? But it's interesting. And then it turns out he's talking about, I only fuck with young girls.
I knew this was going to have a great ending, because any dude that just sit in the beauty salon and talk is a fuck boy.
I mean, I just looked over. I'm like, I swear, I'm like, did I just hear what I only fuck with young girls, because, you know, they easier to handle. You know, and I'm sitting here looking at younger boy. You is 34 years old, and you fucking with 19-year-olds. This is my brother, by the way. This is exactly what they do.
None about that it surprises me.
So, but at the same time, he trying to look over, and I'm looking at him like, and I literally said it. That was the one time where I just slipped out. I was like, "Well, I'm 40, so I guess I would be too old." The girl chuckled. Because I was like, bitch, I ain't 14 and you ain't coming over here. So go take your ass to the Drake concert with your little whatever the fuck. But 9 hours, bitch. 9 hours. And then at the end, she wanted to take pictures. I said, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, they do that. I'm sorry, but I can't. I made the mistake of going to the hood once. And it, like, by the time it was over, it was dark. Walking to my car, I was scared as hell. And I was like, I am never doing this again. Never, ever.
Then she had more people coming to the place. The darker it got, the more hood it got. I was like, oh, God.
Right. And places.
I've been raised in too much of a circle, man.
And that's fine. That keeps you safe. Like, if you have a salon that you just let men come in and just sit in here and talk, like, it's one thing if it's, like, your significant other or maybe even, like, someone who works there, he just doesn't have clients right now. That's fine. But to me, I don't feel comfortable with you just letting men I don't know sitting here just staring at me. They could be looking for when I leave to do something to me. And
exactly.
And I don't like that.
That's when I have to put my hood face on, because I definitely do have an I will fuck you up face. Like, this will not be easy for you. This
is I have mace, and I will fucking use it.
Shit, fuck the mace. I'll use my freaking teeth, motherfucker. Come close.
you gonna Rick Grimes him?
I will Rick Grimes him. I am not. I swear to God, I've had a couple of people, dudes, follow me, and I've had that look where in my eyes, it must have been crazy enough because they stopped following me. I was like, I will fucking flip the script. It will not be easy. That's all I'm gonna say. It will not be easy.
I say that all the time. It's like I just can't imagine. Like, I know they say whatever, like, however you handle a situation, it's nothing wrong with that. But I can't just imagine me allowing you to just attack me and it, like, me just make it. Like, I'm going to fight. You're going to have to fucking knock me out is all I can say. Because you're not going to get a moment of peace. Not while I'm alive and my eyes are open. Okay?
Quite frankly, I think you just triggered me, actually. I'm like, I've been waiting to let this rage out. Wait for this moment, motherfucker. I'm kind of scared of what will happen, too. So, now that we've talked about the natural black hair life and how it sucks, I guess we're all technically naturally black hair, because we all don't seem to have perms. Right.
No, my relaxer has been gone for a long time, and I'm probably gonna have to cut off my hair again and start over.
Aww.
I mean, it's fine. Sewings are a thing. I'm just gonna cut it long enough to get these braids underneath it. And that's what I did the first time I did the big cut. I just had, like, I waited till the new growth was like shoulder length, and then I cut off all the relaxer hair, and then I just started from there.
You know,
it's just hair, and I'm not opposed to wearing a wig.
That's what I need to do. My sister, she can make the best. That's Muff. She can make really good wigs, or she's good with her hair too. I'm like, damn, I really don't know how it skipped me.
You know, I think I didn't know, because my sister, she was the one that went into the army. But before that, she used to do our hair. Like, she just naturally knew how to braid, naturally knew. Like, she would look at a style and just figure out how to do it. So she used to do my hair to practice. So I never learned how to do my hair because she always did it. And she, even though she was a year older than me, she failed one grade. I don't remember what it was. So we ended up in the same grade from like second grade up until we graduated from high school. So she was always around.
Always or forever. I'll be your hairdresser.
That's a topic we should put on the agenda for next year. Did y'all about how the kids that are 12 are like not reading at their age level? Like, did y'all hear that?
Fucking dumb kids are becoming, even dumber.
Yeah, no.
My daughter told me, she was like, there's a whole fucking class and they don't know how to read, man.
Derek, I remember him like dragging the shit out of his little cousin, was like, man, you need to do better. School easy. You being real stupid. And I was like, Derek. He was like, what? School easy. And he failing. I was like, I mean, you ain't wrong, but you ain't have to say it.
I mean, that's the same thing I'm saying. Like, you gotta say it like that. Damn. But I feel like they're unlike us. Because they're like, we gonna leave your ass behind. We ain't got time.
They, like I said, my sister they failed her in like second grade. They are just passing kids, and that's why they're not learning shit. Because nobody's paying attention.
Now I got a topic.
Bitch, you gonna wait. Because we ought to talk about van life.
No, it's related to this, but go ahead. I mean,
you better put a pin in it. It'll be the next thing. Coming to the show late, you going with last. So I want to talk about van life. This is something that I recently discovered because my daughter watches I don't know if she watches it as much as she puts it on, and then we both get sucked into watching it, about tiny homes. And I feel like that's a lifestyle for people who feel as if they want to utilize space in a constructive manner, whatever the fuck.
Tiny homes.
Yes, it's just basically you're cutting everything that you don't need. Like, you're living with only the basic necessities. Like, you don't need to have two closets of clothes when you can really have one. So it's just more, it's a lifestyle, right? But now people have evolved into a newer lifestyle since the pandemic called van life. Now, van life has an estimated, this is what's going about to throw you, 3 million people across the United States involved in this movement, if you will, or this lifestyle. And now it's being joined by schoolie and bus conversions. And the benefit is you can work from home, but you can also still travel around the country wherever you want. So you're basically
living in your van?
You're living in your van or you're living in the bus. And I think they're both different in ways, because the bus conversions, I can actually
just for the record, legally, that's considered being homeless.
That's going to be my follow-up questionnaire. So this is just me explaining what it is right now. Now, most people are saying, these people that have chosen this lifestyle, from what I've accumulated, that this is a way in which they can live their dreams by pursuing travel. This is a way in which they can cut costs.
Are these white people?
The majority, yes. Even though there's been a couple of black people, but yeah, yes, majority Caucasian.
They sound like some migrant workers.
And they also feel like, oh, I can move to the beach and I can go up into the mountains. And some are even have made channels where they're making money off of their excursions.
Yep, seen that.
So here's my questions for you. The three questions I want to answer. Is van life diminishing the real homeless problem?
Yes.
That is going all around. I didn't say answer the damn question yet. Second question.
Do you see any value in... Do one at a time. My memory is not that good.
Okay, fine.
Don't look like that. She trying to throw too much at me. No, my memory is fragile.
Okay, so Mimi, you go first, because you clearly have feelings.
Because I feel like you gotta have some type of money to even start doing some shit like this. You can't just be homeless. I'm gonna have a van life. Where are you gonna get the van from? Where are you gonna get the money for the van? Where are you gonna get the equipment to work wherever the hell you want? Make a podcast or make a YouTube video. So you're clearly not really poor. And in order for you to even think this is accomplishable, I feel like you have to have some money to begin with. That's just my personal opinion. If you were really homeless, which is what living in a van is, most people I know, I've come so far from it that I feel open enough to say it. When I was younger, I can remember there were times when we literally didn't have anywhere to live and we were staying in a hotel. I didn't know back then that was considered homeless, but it is. Like, you're homeless. You don't have the money to get an apartment or to get the right address so you can get, what you need to get a job. Most people that live in their car, if that's even an option, it's not something glamorous. They do it because they don't have a choice. These people are making it seem like this is a lifestyle and this is doable for everybody when it's fucking not. Not everybody can buy a van. Not everybody can even just decide that, you know what? I'm not going to work here. I'm going to quit my job, buy a van, and then start traveling and just work wherever I want. Not everybody can even have a remote job. That's not possible. You know, if you work at McDonald's, you think they gonna let you do that shit remote? Absolutely not. Most remote jobs, though, are skilled jobs like IT or like working in insurance or working like, I know, like some, like in hospitals, nurses can be case managers and it's remote, but you need a nursing license and you need nursing experience. So even to have a remote job, you need some type of skill set, if that makes sense.
And they, the people that do work remote, that say they actually work remote, and these are more, well, actually, I don't know. I've seen more bus conversion people do it, but like they're engineers and they, right. Like they have an actual, you know, they work from home. They do have that necessary skill set, but they've chosen that. So it's not just people. There's a lot of across the spectrum of types of people that are getting involved. Shy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I've seen there was this YouTube couple that I came across that converted a van into like a kind of like a mini RV type thing. And I mean, they got a kitchen and they got the bed, and then so they're just traveling around and, you know, of course, doing YouTube, I guess, is what their income is. I don't know. I don't know how you can make money off of YouTube,
not
but
all
I guess
of them,
you can.
But yeah.
This, I'm just talking about this one that I saw. And so it runs the gamut. I don't know if it's considered, I mean, they consider that their home. I mean, they got all the essentials aside from even the, they got a bathroom. And in this case, when they want to shower, they got a membership at Planet Fitness, and they would go in there and shower every day. I mean, so it was just, I mean, it's just a creative way for them to do their own thing and not be tied down to anything. But then
can I ask you a question, Shy, though? Mm-hmm. In situations like that, like, you need, like, in order to get a paycheck to be able to pay taxes, you need an address. Like, in situations, like, I don't believe everything I see. And I feel like they're telling us that this is what they do. But how do we know they don't have a home somewhere else? You know what I'm saying?
I do believe either they have a home or they use, you know, a relative's address as their permanent address, so to speak. But yeah, you're right. I'm not sitting here saying, oh yeah, this is that. I'm just saying this is what's portrayed. Life.
And just like Planet Fitness, like I have a membership there. I don't shower there, but I feel like not just anybody can go into a, you know what I'm saying, membership or not. Like, if you look like you ain't showered in 8 days, you think they're going to let you go in there shower and take a shower? Absolutely not. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like if we did research and looked at the background of the majority of these people with this lifestyle, they have education, they have money. It's not, you're making it seem like it's doable for everybody, and it's absolutely not. And that's why I don't like shit like that. That's why I don't watch videos like that, because it's unrealistic.
I believe in the case of this, the one that I saw, they have money. And so it wasn't like, oh yeah, this is my, it was, again, it's a luxury. To me, it was a luxury situation.
Okay, that I can agree with.
It wasn't a necessity. So like, we would like to do this, we want to do this. We want to be able to travel, and we're going to do it. So I do believe that's the case.
Yeah, that's leading to my question with the initial question. Do you feel like this lifestyle is discriminatory against actual homelessness? Because there are people who live in a van
and work at
McDonald's and can afford $30 to shower at Planet Fitness, because that's the only way they're going to get a shower.
Yeah, but most homeless people don't even have a vehicle, and they couldn't just go buy one because they don't have that kind of money. And even if you had money, like, you need a address to register a vehicle. You need, you know, a license. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of steps. So it's not... they're not homeless. And if they want to call themselves van life or whatever they want to do, it isn't the same as being homeless, even though technically, if you do not have an address and you live in a van or a bus, that's what homelessness is. So that's why I don't believe these people, whether they're telling us or not, I don't believe you don't have a permanent address, because how are you making money? Where are they sending the checks? You know what I'm saying? You gotta have something, especially if it's a legit check where you need to show taxes on, there's no way. You can't use your bus as an address because there is not, it doesn't have one.
Or, like, like you said, they just have the money to be able to afford to do that. They don't need a pay tax, whatever. I mean, they have a bank account with a whatever amount of money, and that's what they're living off of. So to me, that's not homeless either. If I got like $500,000 in the bank and I just want to roam the country, that's not homeless.
I mean, it's just, right.
And that's lifestyle.
And, right. And that's what I mean. Like, that's why I don't believe that they, like, you're really homeless. Like, maybe your house, you gave it to your kid or something. It's in their name. But you have a person. If something happened to that van, or all of a sudden it's illegal to, it starts being illegal to do what you're doing, you can take your ass back to that house.
Yeah.
And that's a really good point, because and I'm glad you kind of brought up all the things that I wanted to in regards to that point, because legally speaking, everyone who indulges in van life, coolie life, bus life, you are, under the United States Constitution, considered homeless. So if you are indeed working from home, then you are, as you stated, using a permanent address as your basis. So the idea that you're living this free, off the grid lifestyle is in itself a lie. Because you can't legally do so and make money. Now, if like Shai was saying, now if I'm doing Instagram videos and I'm living off of donations, well, yeah, you still have to pay taxes on it. But that would be more of the authentic van life where you're living off of a...
Where would you be putting this money? In order to get a bank account, you need an address. Like, you need, there's no way for you to get money from any kind of online anything if there's no place for you to put it.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying they could put it in their, I don't know. I don't know all of the backwards about that. All I'm talking about is when you work for the government. I don't know what YouTube's guides are.
I mean, you can use any address. I see it all the time in my line of work. I mean, people use their mother's address to put kids in a certain school district. You don't have to prove that as long as you're getting mail there, that's your proof of residence, your proof of address to get a kid in school.
But my point is that you can't, there's no way that you can just be free, you know what I'm saying?
Without an address, yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have... even if it's not really a home that belongs to you, or you gave it to someone else, there's no way. Like, a homeless person has no legal address at all.
Yeah.
They don't have, and that's why they can't get a lot of assistance. That's why a lot of them end up on the streets in homeless shelters, because they don't have anywhere to go. If you're off the grid, even if you're making money on Instagram or YouTube, you're not technically homeless. You can't be, because there's no way you're getting money, especially if you're working remote, because that's attached to your social security number. That's your job. You have an address somewhere with somebody.
And here's my question, though. I'm curious, is this life sustainable? Like, what is the average time that people spend doing this? Because I just don't feel like this is a temporary, a short-term lifestyle.
Right. That was going to be my follow-up question.
Oh, okay.
So you led right perfectly into it, is how sustainable is this life? Now, I did look into the research on this one, and it feels like, unfortunately, it's becoming an increasingly common lifestyle. Like, instead of people losing interest, it's been gaining interest since 2022. By like a large jump. So its sustainability for the people that are involved in it, depending on the people who are involved in it. Like, there are some people who will talk about the rough things, because one, they don't talk about how you have to get electricity, so you have to get solar panels. They don't talk about the waste. You're gonna be lugging around your own shit and piss. You know, that's just, they don't talk about how you have to shower, how you have to shower outside and expose mm-hmm. yourself. You, it's security, you know, a vehicle is that heating in the winter, cooling yeah. in the summer. There are a lot of different aspects to it. And then the maintenance on the vehicle. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if this is your home, but now it's become even more so. It's your yeah. entire life. That's connected to, because you've combined two necessary things that were different aspects of your life. You know, if you lose your van, you know, in an accident tomorrow, well, you still can go home, versus if you lose your van in an accident, well, now you're homeless for real on the streets, because now there's nowhere else to go. And then lastly, I'll put in the amount people usually pay. Van life, people drop like $30,000-$40,000 to get a full ripped out van if they want to do it. More people are starting to do it for people, customize their vans for them or their mm-hmm. buses. Buses are becoming far more like it's van life, but now it's progressing more and more so against schoolie and bus life, because they offer way more room. And I gotta say, these pimped out styles, some of them look really, really, really nice.
I mean, I would think so.
Oh yeah, and they're dropping equally $40,000 to $50,000, giving up their homes or renting out their homes, and then mm-hmm. deciding to live in the buses, and then just decide to travel.
Yeah.
So going into the sustainability, knowing all of these facts. You know, how do you feel just from a abstract perspective on why people would be interested in this type of thing?
I mean, I think the kind of economy that we're living in right now, maybe it seems more sustainable that way, because, you know, I can't even, like, I know my property taxes went up and are like, that was something I wasn't even comprehending that could be a problem. Because your property taxes goes up, your mortgage goes up. Mm-hmm. And it's unexpected prices. Like, yes, your house is worth more, but now each month you got to owe more money, which is something that I don't even think I comprehended when I was, before we had this mortgage. The fucking electricity. Like, electricity keeps going up. And they're like, oh, you spending more. I'm not using more electricity. It's just costing more. You know what I'm saying? Y'all acting like it's my fault, showing me the progression. We're not doing anything different. And, you know, groceries and all this stuff. So, I mean, I feel like in that situation, maybe they feel like they'll save them more money. I don't know. I could see that being a situation. But, I mean, if you have, you know, $30,000, especially if you sold your house, it might be cheaper to live on a bus, especially if it's just you and your significant other, and, you know, maybe your kids are grown, or, you know, you don't have any kids. You don't have to worry about school districts and stuff like that. It might be more beneficial. It's not something I hate it being on a cruise. I hate it traveling on a bus. I don't like shit like that. So that's not something I want to do. I travel enough for work, and I don't want to, like, that's not a lifestyle I want to do. But I could see the appeal for someone who likes to travel and don't mind being on a bus all the time.
Yes, people that don't want to be tied down to one place.
Exactly.
That are, what do you call it? Have the wanderlust.
Yeah.
Wanderlust. About them.
And so, I mean, I just don't think it's sustainable long term. I mean, just for all the things that y'all talked about as well. The car is going to break down at some, or vehicle is going to break down at some point. It's going to stop working at some point. Yes. And so you're going to have money to sustain that, to keep the car maintenance, or van, I should say, maintenance going. If you're young, at some point, are you going to want to have kids? So it's like life evolves and change, mm-hmm. your mindset changes. And so what you feel like right now may not be the case 5 years from now. So I think even in that aspect of it, that changes. And so that's why I don't think it's, or like Mimi said, you know, You already had your kids. Now they're out of the house. Now you want to do this. And so, but then you're going to get older. And so as you get older, are you going to be able to drive this van? You know what I'm saying?
Get in and out of the bus with them knees.
Always the knees.
It's them knees.
Them snap, crackle, and popping knees, you know? You got to. I mean, life changes. And so I just don't think, I think for a moment in time, for a snapshot in time, it's probably ideal. But, sustainability, I don't think so. For me personally, I don't think so.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that watching these documentaries that kind of puts me off a little bit on the interviews is most of the couples that are being interviewed always start with, well, we were watching tiny homes and we saw other people were doing it, so it feels like a fad. It's like, well, that sounds cool, I could do it, and this feels like it's something that's a movement, but 3 million people sounds like a lot when you don't realize there's billions of people in the world, so you're still a minority, where other people are going to react like Mimi did with, bitch, y'all homeless. and the only people you're going to attract is people who's doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Which is how America is formulated in cults.
Does it also speak to, I mean, because I don't know the age demographic, to lack of wanting responsibilities, you know, because you're just free roaming the country, not tied down, you don't have any responsibilities. I don't know. I feel like that's part of it too.
Yeah, no, it definitely is the age demographic, because that's going to lead to my last third question about it, which we're going to wrap up. And I think I'm going to skip the one topic I have and go back to whatever you say, and then I'll talk about the last. Most of the younger kids that's living in California, dude, those are the ones that you mostly see in the van life. People who are just bohemian, they're fucking lost, they don't know what's going on. Because
it's warm all the time.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, in some people, they live in the Colorado, or they're going up in the Rocky Mountains, or they're just into whatever that thing is that they're trying to find, this so purity of life.
They are younger, the demographic. They are younger, mostly.
But then you have the older group who are retired and they just want to do something because everyone else, like I said, to me it feels like a and I know everyone puts a negative stigmatism against the word cult, but that is essentially what it is. Everyone coming under the same mindset and they all repeat the exact same thing and tell each other that all of this is good and it's great, but like you saying, it's a snapshot in time. It's not when you change in 10 years or when you realize that this much space between two people is not fucking great. I mean, I could barely be in my fucking 825 square feet apartment with my child and not feel that she's not far away enough from me. There's so many other things that I feel are unsaid behind the scenes of it, because people evolve as much as their desires. So to me, it's so very weird that no one's taking that into account. Like, yeah, eventually I'm not going to be able to climb out of this queen bed. Yes, that's on a fucking board. And not that very comfortable, or sit on this couch that, yeah, looks awfully cool, but, you know, when you sit on it, your tailbone cracks because it's made of absolute wood. You know, you have to do extra work doing gallons of food, going to the store, like all of those things in one lifestyle just feels really odd for anyone that's in the benefit for the young, though, is that they can just fuck off. It's not as much of a That's what I mean. I feel like Mimi was saying, this is why I wanted to talk about it. It feels like a luxury. It feels mm-hmm. like something that is a privilege more mm-hmm. so than a lifestyle that mm-hmm. somehow less than trying to take away from that capitalist world because it's living into this fake organic one. And that's where I really, where they really lose me the most is when I see these motherfuckers with kids living on RVs and school buses with 2 to 3 children acting like that shit is normal when we have all of the fucking psychology that you white people invented that said that children need stability and this, that, and the other thing. And yet you white people, yes, because this is majority, all white people, think that you're good enough to homeschool your children and take them on your adventure in the world because you have decided this is the life that you want to live. Now, in one hand, if I want to raise my kids vegan, that's the equivalent of I want to raise my kid in van life. But on the other hand, these kids are like, what do you want for your birthday? Well, a hotel room alone. In a room. That's what they fucking want.
I wonder why.
Thoughts.
I don't think you should be raising your kids vegan, but that's just my personal opinion. Humans need protein. I'm just saying.
That motherfucker get protein every time she come over here. I'm like, come on, Irie, let me give you some pepperoni.
I don't think I feel that way about being vegan. I feel that way like about religion. I feel that way like I don't think I understand people are going to do what they want to do, but I'm a strong believer. It's like I don't think you should force your kid to do. I remember Derek asked me, he was like, I want to go to a church. Can I go to church with my friend? His friend is Catholic. I'm like, you can go. I was like, that's a choice you have to make. I don't think religion is something I'm going to force on him. I'm not a religious person. But if he wants to be religious, I'm not going to stop him. But if I want to go, you know, travel the world, I feel like pulling a child out of school and like disrupting their life is kind of rude and not good parenting. But people are going to do whatever they want to do. Like, there's nothing we could do about it. And like I said, if it all of a sudden becomes illegal, then we can make choices based off that. But I'm sure them kids will be fine because their parents are rich. Their parents are rich.
Up their kids for a long time, okay?
I'm talking about school-wise because their parents are rich. I refuse to believe that you can pull your kid out of school and refurbish a bus, put a kitchen and shit in it, and you ain't got no money. Like, that's
I don't know how the fuck you could keep your kid out of school for more than 7 days and not have the Department of Education on your doorstep with the fucking social worker talking about
this. No, you would say you're homeschooling them, yeah.
on your second grade education?
Yeah. I don't know the requirements, but I feel like you don't have to have a lot of requirements to homeschool your kids.
You don't. You just declare that you're home. I know in Georgia, you just have to make a declaration that you intend to homeschool, and then you have to show the program.
You're following, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's Illinois is the same way.
So, that's it.
So, you don't feel like there's a... So, in my eyes, or in your eyes, it's not a conflict of culture. It's more like... It's just another way in which people are fucking up their kids, and
yeah, it's like making them vegan. When kids are vegan, growing up, like first of all, kids eat like shit anyway when they're toddlers. But you taking away the stuff that's supposed to help them grow, like yeah, I've seen research that suggests that kids that grow up vegan, not vegetarian, like. Because I know there's some Indian cultures that are vegetarian. That's not what I'm talking about. Vegan, you're eating a lot of fake shit because you don't for whatever reason, your kids don't develop properly. Their bones are weak. They're sickly. That's the research I remember reading, and I remember showing it to my little sister. But her kids,
oh, I'm seeing
kids,
the results. I see it with my sister. She's like that, and I'm like,
she was
always got their nose running.
No, she was vegan until she had, like, she was pregnant with her second son, and that motherfucker can eat. You hear me? He was eating in the womb. I remember seeing her eating double cheeseburgers and shit. That motherfucker came out eating just like that. He be eating. So that's what I'm saying, because I feel like it's not fair. If a kid wants to eat a burger, let him fucking eat a burger. Kids don't eat that well anyway. I cannot stand when people make kids.
That's the time you're supposed to eat like shit. Because the rest of your life, you know, you got to do everything and anything to keep this machine, this product.
Listen.
I'm just saying, like, the list of things that vegans can eat is so little, it makes me so mad that you're depriving your child. Like, there's so many things that, like, have, like, that might be, like, processing areas with, like, animal fat or, like, certain foods that have animal product in it. It's such a limited amount of food. It's so fucked up that you're depriving a baby of eating. You're an asshole. It makes me mad.
Look, I'm going to say this in regards to not the vegan stuff. I'll leave that.
I have
strong opinions.
Yeah, I'm not that well versed on the vegan lifestyle. But I will say about the van stuff, I mean, I was just thinking as Mimi was talking about my life, you know, like lugging them around the world, because, you know, as a military person, I am moving every 3 years and taking my children with me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, so it's a complicated thing. I know I chose the career, which meant that I had to leave wherever I was every 3 years. And again, I'm obviously taking my kids with me. And I've talked to my oldest son about that, because my two younger two, they only experienced it for a little bit of their time. Because by the time they were eight and nine, I was out. So he, majority of his life was in the military, his childhood, I should say. And it does have an effect. It did, because, I mean, he talks about that now, as an adult, about the not being able to form ties and relationships, because he's moving so much with other kids. Obviously then his brothers came along, but he was seven by the time they were born. So yeah, we talk about that a lot, about that, the social aspect of it, and how, you know, there's no roots for him. You know, the friends that he has now are the ones he met at my last duty station, which is usually the case a lot of the time. Sometimes you can maintain your childhood friendships, sometimes you don't. But yeah, he talked, and we moved back to the States. I got out. He was a junior in high school. And so he graduated, and he really didn't know anybody in his class, and he doesn't have any ties to the school that he graduated with. And that's something that stayed with me for my other two. And so we've lived in the same spot from the time I graduated and moved here to Georgia until they're off on their own. So, yeah, I mean, it has an effect on children when you're moving around and there's no, I mean, yeah, there was stability for 3 years, but then we're moving to the next thing. But for these people, they're like moving every day, going here, over there.
A week That's here, a week there.
Week there. It does take a toll, I think, on children. And I don't think that's something parents think about too much, because they're thinking about, this is going to be fun, this is going to be an adventure, blah, blah, blah. But then it's like, but little Johnny's like, what about my friend? What about, you know, Bob? Me and Bob were best friends, and now I won't see Bob for whatever. So it's a slippery slope, I say.
It's all about family, and now you're so stuck in the family. Like, there's no
isolation.
Yeah, it's no reprieve from, which means unable to develop your own identity away from that family. And then the parents think it's good for them because they're getting fresh air and they're connecting with nature and they're not on their phones, and they, you know, this comparison
for that.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This comparison of what's better and what's not, and that's being very topical right now for everything, between what you eat to what you do to your mindset. The noose of control seems to be grappling a lot harder in society right now. Shy has a topic that she came through with in the 11th hour. What would you like to discuss, my love?
Again, thank you, Christina, for that intro. No, it was just a piggyback off of what we were talking about earlier in regards to the younger generation. Because something that I'm seeing when it comes to work ethic and the difference in work ethic for us, for, you know, Gen X, Gen Z, millennial, all that stuff, I'm noticing a difference. And this is something that I'm talking to my leadership about, you know, we're having these meetings about retention and how to keep people in the spots, and because we got a high turnover rate, because these kids are coming in and they're like, I'm good, and they out. This is too much work.
I gotta be honest with you. I envy them, because I feel like we stuck it out at places we shouldn't have too long, because we were taught that's what you were supposed to do.
And that's what I'm saying. So it's like, and that's what I'm telling my peoples. I'm like, this is a different animal. We're dealing with a different species right now. They're not, the things that was keeping us where we are is not what's going to keep these people
we don't even have that. Like, we were taught to stay in a place, but our parents had pensions and shit. Yeah. We don't have that. What is keeping them there? Like, you told you're getting a salary, you're told you can get a raise, and if you don't get that raise, we would still stay when we should have fucking left. So I feel like this new generation might be what we need for these corporations and companies to get their shit together.
And I agree with that, Mimi, and that's what I was telling them. I'm like, we can't maintain the status quo. What worked 20 years ago, what worked 10 years ago, is not going to work today. You got people to stay 20 years ago, 10 years ago, is not what you're gonna take to keep people today. And instead of trying to push that, and, you know, you need to wrap your mind around the fact that we have to change with the times. We have to change our approach. We got to change our business model. We got to change the way we're doing things, because, you know, this is how it was when whatever, that ain't working. I've never liked that. Even for my generation, I've always rebelled against people saying, well, this is how it was when I was blah, blah, blah. Did you like it? Was it great?
No, right.
Why would you want to continue that? Like, it sucked, right? So why would we want to continue something that sucked?
Exactly. You know,
so that's always been my mindset. And it's like, even to this day with, again, the newer people coming in fresh out of college. Oh my Lord. It's like, oh my God, this is too hard. No, I can't do it. I'm out. And it's like, what? You gave it 5 minutes. Like, can you give it some time? Like, 10 minutes? And I was like, no, I gave you 5 minutes. That's all I'm going to give you. And that's like, we have to understand that, instead of pushing back on that or just ignoring it or putting our heads in the sand and not acknowledging that this is a different times. We're in different times. So, mm-hmm. What are y'all thoughts on that? Christina. I heard some of what Mimi said.
I was already up here just listening. I mean, I think it's a catch 22. Mm-hmm. I think, like you said, yeah, I love...
Are you talking out the other side of your mouth?
You can sit on a fucking dick and rotate, biatch. Both of you can. Just ham fist them into your eyeballs. I... I love the energy of this generation because they do have less of, like, they're so pissed off at us, at anyone before. It's more like they're back to the 60s generations, like what I call, like, that's why I always say this, yes, hippies, but not in the way that people think of hippie. Because when people think of hippie, they go flower chat and peace and drugs, but that's not what they stood for at all. They were very militant and pushing against the previous generation's ideas with very little fucks to give about it. And that generation was like, what the fuck? Because they were losing control of the narrative, because they were no longer just assimilating. They were like, you know what? Y'all are fucking shit up. We're suffering. We're getting more educated. And most of this most of that pushback was on college campuses. So it was the most educated of that genre. So yeah, I do see this new generation falling into that, mainly because they got a lot of shit in their lap. They got to deal with, it's going to be their kids and their kids' kids dealing with climate change. We're going to be dead before any of those things really come to us. Mm-hmm. It's not going to really affect us. So they've got way more problems and they're starting.
They're going to be taking care of us because we ain't got no money to retire.
I mean, basically, we don't have shit to offer. Like, there's no cushion for them. Like, some wealthy families, yeah, sure. The middle class is going to try to assimilate, but it's
fucking middle class.
Yeah, I'm about to say, what am I talking about? As soon as I said that, I was like, yep, I'm
upper
wrong.
Poor. Upper poor is what we're called.
Yeah, upper poor. But yes, because the middle class is dis-fucking-peering. Everywhere across the globe. So you have this new generation that knows and is aware that they are going to have to fight a lot harder for what they have. And they're a lot more informed. You know, you can't keep secrets the way in which our generation kept secrets. You can hear 50
our
million.
Parents didn't, right, our parents didn't tell us shit.
It's like, no, you know, like, even now I fucking hate it, but I can tell my daughter something, she'd be like, click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Well, let me fact check you, because I don't have to trust everything that comes out of your mouth. And that's just what they're rolling with. So they start out from the gate in this far advanced part of society than we were at. But on the other hand, they could maybe listen to at least the millennials a little bit more in, like, chilling the fuck out. Like, sometimes y'all be wilding, like, a little too much. Like, you get a little, you're getting too polarized.
Yeah.
Right? You're no longer finding wisdom, because now you consider yourself fully correct. Now that you have all the information to access, you don't understand that wisdom comes with experience, not facts on a page. So maybe, just maybe, listen a little bit, at least to the previous generation, about some of the things that maybe we can help you out with. And mostly it's about your attitude, because you're not going to be able to just fight like this. Like, y'all are just fighting. And it's like, you need to find what compromise. You're not going to win. It's not a battle to win. It is nothing but compromise, and it's always been so find a way to compromise, because right now we are just getting way too out of control with the damn sides, and we're not listening anymore. And that's my only problem with the generation, is like you said, stick it out for more than a fucking week. Damn. You ain't gotta you ain't gotta stick it in like us and be taken advantage of. But you also need to put a little bit, you can't come in with expectations of what you want and then be like, let me walk away when it's not that. Like, you have to compromise some of yourself first.
Especially when you're new and you ain't even been there 90 days. Like, you need to at least understand. But, I think that's the problem. Like, maybe the kids saw what their parents went through. And they were like, fuck this shit, I'm not doing it. You know, so now they're like too overly cautious. Like, I'm not about to overextend myself for this bullshit. I saw my parents working 20 years at a job. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get a promotion, and now, you know, they stagnant. I'm not giving y'all a year. Fuck you. I'm 2 months and I'm leaving. Like, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, but you got to figure it out. Like, some people just, because that, to me, that will also beget laziness. Because then you come up with excuses of why, well, this didn't do it and this didn't do it. You're never going to be happy. I don't know where this illusion is. There's no fucking American dream. Mm-hmm. There's, and people talk about that all the fucking time. The American dream. I'm like, who sold you this illusion?
Whitney, I was going to say,
I've never grown up on this idea of the American dream, because it doesn't exist. But a lot of people really have that mindset. And I'm like, no.
I don't know anybody.
This is
that
a
got
country that,
mindset. That
just doesn't judge you as hard for being vain and greedy and capitalist. That they just don't put a whole bunch of stigmas on, even though it is a.
What is the American dream? I don't even know what that is.
Come here, get up. You can get a job. You can earn enough money to get a white picket fence and own your own home. To have to be a citizen, to be accepted in society. It's just all a bunch of, and it's not even just Americans that believe in this delusion. It's a lot of people over in other countries that come. Now there's a lot of trafficking up from Honduras, I want to say. But a lot of Latin American countries now are trying to come to America because they keep thinking that once you get here, you know, they see our free food stamp programs, and they see even the way we even treat our homeless, and they think it's better. And even they are like, fuck, this is hard. And they take their ass back to where they came from because they're more successful there than trying to get it here. So the American dream is, it is just something that rich people try to tell everyone that it's easy to accomplish and do. All you have to do is have the right attitude and work hard and all of that. But that's not true. There's institutionalized racism here. There are processes in place that make it, no matter even whatever bar you're at, there's still a bar set at you. And only very few get into that upper percent. And some of it comes with a shit ton of luck and a lot of privilege and a lot of that. It's not everyone can make it. No. I think I love George Carlin for how he ended one of his best specials was the American dream. You have to be asleep to believe in it. Because it's bullshit. Yet you'll hear people who's homeless talking about, you know, we got to do the American dream, and they feel like they've been failed by America for believing in the dream. And it's like, no, you failed yourself for believing in the bullshit.
No way. I don't know if y'all saw this, because I know y'all aren't on TikTok, but there was this African lady who said a poor white man is a red flag. Where was your ancestors when other white people were stealing? And I cannot unlisten. Every time I see a poor white person, I laugh because it's so fucking funny. Like, I never said it in terms, but I think, like, how you got all that white privilege and you homeless? Like, what'd you fuck? You fucked up so bad. Like, how? I don't understand. You're a white man in America and you're homeless? Just saying.
I don't think that's it. I think going back to that, like I said, America's really good at lying to itself.
Yeah.
There's not a majority of white or black. Yes, a lot of black communities have issues. But there are two times as many white communities with those same very issues, but they don't promote that on the television. They don't advertise the fact that there are more white people on food stamps than black and Hispanics. Why? Because black and Hispanics got to get a job. We got to work. Ain't nothing else we can lean on. The people on all of that assistance, they get to lean on that because of their white privilege. You know, they're not too much care. So when you see they're homeless, they feel like when they're homeless, even them being homeless, they're sitting in a van in a parking lot, given food, allowed to eventually graduate to where they might get something else. That's still even more privileged than the dude that's gotten all of his skin off from all of the, because he's trying just as hard to sign up to those places and get those applications, but he's not getting ahead of the white homeless person because they got their family there. Because some reason, why you homeless, you on the road having babies. I don't get it. But like I said, one is stigmatized, the other is not. And they can sit on the side talking about the American dream, and there's people with cameras listening to it, and we're feeling sorry for the sob story. Yet you flip it aside and you go to fucking, what's the really horrible place? St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And you look at this, and it's all about the same situation, but they didn't help themselves. They were supposed to have done something to pursue the American dream, and then they wouldn't be in that situation. Like the one cop said, if they would have taken their stimulus check and not bought that TV, well, then they wouldn't be throwing out their apartment. Maybe that's true. But the idea of the American dream has brainwashed everyone into mm-hmm. believing that that fucking TV in your home is more of a status than your actual fucking home. It's not black and white. It's really fucking gray how we disillusion ourselves. Like I said, you have to be asleep to believe in any of that shit.
I guess I never had that problem because I never believed in American dream. I just know that, like, I've always known if I just gotta work hard, and when something doesn't, like, just anticipate that you shit might not work out and have a backup plan. And that's how I've always lived my life. I don't know.
Like I said, we're born with that. We get the first conversation we get in the world is, let's talk about how your people was fucked up from this many times to this many times. And, oh, it's changed now, right? It's all better. No, it's not. These are the things you need to do to not get shot. So, yeah, when that is your upbringing, of course you're not going to sit and be like, yeah, the American dream, just what called.
I can't wait.
Like, my family had, like, two fucking jobs, and we still only affording cable, and that's it, barely, even every month. And so, yeah, it's bullshit.
It's crazy. Get me so depressed. Yeah. What's the next topic?
What are we watching on TV?
Are
we watching?
One of the ones that I'm recently started watching, and I wasn't gonna watch it because I swear to God, I know the plot, I know what's gonna happen. It's on Hulu. It's called I think it's called Malcolm and Luther or Malcolm and Martin or something like that, but it's about Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and what the fuck are you laughing at?
I'm
gonna What's look funny? At the name.
Is it not a comedy?
What?
It's about Martin Luther King and Malcolm X.
I know,
X,
which, but it feels like a kind of a premise for... Okay, see, maybe it's because I just watched a recent episode of The Boondocks when Martin Luther King came out of the coma. Did you not see that episode? And he had to deal with the black people now in today's time?
Okay. But if I heard about a show with Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, I would not assume that it's a comedy. I would assume right. that it's a drama. But that's just me. Okay.
That never crossed my mind. But, you know.
Okay. It's called Genius, and then it has MLK/X. It's only like, I think it's like six episodes. But I don't know anything about this Genius, but this is like season 4, so I'm assuming they study different things. But it's actually really good. It focuses a lot on their significant others, which I don't think we got to see a lot of from the movies, you know. Coretta and what is Betty was Malcolm's wife's name?
Not sure.
I didn't know Malcolm was married.
He was. And she was a dark-skinned black woman.
Well, the more you know. I really didn't know he was...
The people who running it said that they felt like, you know, how could anybody ever talk about Malcolm and Martin without referring to their wives, because they were just as important. And I also didn't even know Martin Luther King's real name isn't even Martin Luther King. Like, no. I really honestly didn't know that. Like, well, shit, I don't know nothing.
That's why I like watching certain TV shows like Rick and Morty and Archer. They drop like random facts like this all the time. And I'm like, really? Is that true? And then I Google it and then I learn something.
But you also like watching documentaries, and I don't.
This is true. Wait, when she said that. So that's a show.
And I'm also watching the Avatar, the live action one. I'm watching that with Derek.
I seen a lot of people watching that.
I saw it.
Oh, you watched the whole thing?
I binged it, yeah.
Yeah, I told you I can't binge them on my mind. It's not computing.
Yeah, I want to see last weekend.
Shogun. I just haven't started it yet.
I don't know.
Yeah,
what that is.
I think I was gonna check that out.
Shogun? What is that?
It's on Hulu.
Some samurai action.
Yeah, it's based on a book, loosely based on history, because he's a real guy. That it was right before the Edo period of him assimilating all the clans. So some of it has some historical context to it, like the white dude being there has some historic context to it. Adam, he's a real dude. I think it'll be fine is if they utilized my boy's skills. I don't want them doing like they did in Westworld, acting like he ain't got mad skills.
It reminded me of that one, like those one few episodes of Westworld when we were in like the Japanese like area. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted to see it. But you're saying you don't want it to be like that.
I don't want him to diminish him. Like, I feel like in Westworld he could have done a lot more with his skill set. Like, he should have been taking it. Like, that one scene they gave him in the back courtyard, like, he's really, really, really good. Like, he's, Daniel... Oh, I forgot his name. We watched a show about him, Into the Badlands. But he's really good at choreography, doing fight choreography. Okay. So I just don't want them to... Yes.
Gotcha.
I don't want him to be up against some weak-ass people. That's all. But... Okay. I didn't look on who's behind the show or anything like that, so I'm just
speaking
my trepidation. Yeah.
That's what I'm watching. I there's like a couple of shows, like new shows on like the CW, but it's one of those things where it's like just so I have something to watch weekly, which it's not like a terrible show, but it's been done before. It's called Wild Cards on the CW, and I got a beef with the CW, so I don't really want to watch like their shows. So I'm trying not to watch new things, but that just it has one of the characters in it that, or one of the actresses that I used to love, on what the hell was the name of that show, Riverdale. But it's basically like she's a con artist and he's like a detective, and they get paired together. It's cute and like funny, kind of silly, but not really. Like, I mean, if it gets renewed, great. If it doesn't, I don't have a lot invested, so I'm fine. So I just, the CW can suck it. I don't trust them no more.
Girl, the CW was dead to me after The Flash.
They're cutting people's budgets, and like one of the shows that I watch, one of the main character guy, I'm assuming they didn't pay him enough so he wouldn't renew, like he wouldn't be a main character anymore. Like, he was like a co-lead, but now he's just a reoccurring character. And one of the other characters, the same thing with her. And both of them, I know actors get paid based off like their resume, and I know both of them have had shows where they like were leads before, so I'm assuming they would have to pay them more, and the CW just didn't want to do it. So now that they're now it's like they're main characters and now they're reoccurring. So now what the fuck's the story going to be?
Did they still call themselves the CW? I thought they were changing their name.
They didn't change it yet. It's still the CW on the like when you look up the show.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm never going back.
Yeah, I just thought that's what they were talking about.
They probably took over. Mm-hmm. They just haven't done it yet. They need to go ahead and change it so they can just like do whatever the hell they want to do with the shows that they're thinking about, because it's pretty. They don't even want to like the Superman. I never watched a Superman show, but I know it was really popular. But they when it asked like a whole bunch of characters, most of them are people of color. So like they renewed the show, but it can't be the same because there's so many people that they asked. Like they're like not are reoccurring. They're literally not on the roster anymore.
Oh wow.
And if I was a fan of that show, I'd be fucking livid.
Yeah, wow. I was done with them. I'm glad after the Flash.
Right, I'm glad I never got sucked into that, because if they did that to me, I would be ready to fucking set one of the motherfuckers' offices on fire.
I mean, we've been down this road before, my love.
We have, but that's honestly, like, I hate not trusting shows, but it makes me not want to watch anything new, because it's like if I like it and it gets canceled, I'm gonna be fucking pissed.
That's why I'm very cautious on what I take on.
But if you don't watch a show, it's not gonna get views, and then it's not gonna be renewed.
No, it's a cycle.
Yeah,
it's a cycle. But I'm like, shit, someone gonna have to take it for the team. It ain't gonna be me. Okay.
I took a chance with Found, and they got renewed for a second season. So
I still need to watch that.
Yeah, that was one of the shows I was so happy about. I was like trying to watch it because I was trying to support, you know, black businesses, and I was like, please. And you know, with Mark Paul Gosselaar, you never know what you're gonna get. So all right. We'll see.
The curse of a show for real. Damn, I had misjudged it. I kind of was like not, and I told you guys this already. I was really looking good at it. Like, is this going to try to be some will they, won't they between a kidnap? This is some really slutty type of fanfic. No. I mean, it's good on fanfic, but you can't put this shit on TV.
No, because the more, like, I think the more it progressed, the more you realize that it's definitely not that. Like, I never thought it was going to be like that, but I do think that the actor, like, the two main characters have really good chemistry. I don't want to see nothing sexual between them, because that shit's weird, but I'm sure somebody out there probably is seeing what they want to see.
They're shipping it. Somebody out there, yeah, they ship a lot of stuff.
You know, that's what I said. As long as the show ain't trying to say it,
no, I don't think so.
that's why I was like, okay, no, we're going a little too far here, guys. Y'all already pushing it with you. let's not do this to Shinola.
I'm not watching. I mean, there's not much.
Have you ever seen you? You know exactly what I'm referring to. It's really. But even when the actor got to come out and be like, "Come on, guys, you can't over sexualize stalking. This is not like my character is not a good person. He's a villain. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to excuse his behavior or like his behavior or find ways to interpret to make it seem like he is good, but." I'm not playing a good person. I'm playing a very bad person. Stop.
I don't know. People should be surprised. There's literally people who like start groupie, like become a groupie to like a serial killer. So it's not surprising to me that someone would find some sexual tension between a kidnapper and their victim. So shit don't surprise me anymore.
Yeah, and the way they promoting stuff on TV now, like incest, I was very trepidatious when I saw that trailer. I was like, are we really going down this road?
Right.
To Shinola. Like, if you want to put some other type of Caucasian female in this position, fine. But don't do that to my girl.
Yeah.
So I was glad to hear it. So finally I will watch it.
Did you guys watch Irrational? It had Jesse Martin in it.
I saw it and I was like, I'm not even gonna pretend to be interested.
I like psychology type stuff. It's interesting. Don't get me wrong. I was gonna say there's some episodes that I think are kind of boring, but the actual premise is interesting to me. But I like The Mentalist, which I think is pretty similar.
Love that show. So it's similar to that.
Yeah.
I watched that when it was out.
It got renewed too, so it's not, I think it's only like 10 episodes or 11 episodes this season.
Mm.
If you want to watch it,
yeah, I'll take a look. I don't know. I barely have time to watch TV. When I do, I want to watch mindless stuff because my brain be hurting.
Even though you didn't send me Rick and Morty feedback this week.
I knew she was going to bring up Rick and Morty. I feel like I want to give it a second chance.
The way you was dragging it, you was like, if you could watch this show, you could watch Rick and Morty, you could watch that.
It's gross. It does have gross stuff in it. It's gross. There's moments that are gross.
Moments.
It's not bad.
I just don't know how you can watch that, but you can't watch The Walking Dead.
Who, me? It's gory. That's a cartoon versus, I don't know, live action and cartoons are different to me.
I guess, but it reminds me like Ren and Stimpy and like Beavis and Butthead. Like, it's like gross stuff.
Gross. It's got a little bit more maturity to it than that.
I feel like there's like things underneath the surface, yes, but I'm just saying like I can't watch stuff like that all the time, and I feel like me agreeing to like give feedback all the time, I would have to be in a mood to watch a Rick and Morty, like, and I, like, there's been times it's been on and I've watched a couple episodes and they've been interesting, but I can't watch stuff like that all the time.
Did you do the podcast already, Christine?
No, I didn't, because I'm like, I'm about to teach you train my ass on, because every time, I'll be waiting you, and you still, it'd be like 3 days later. I'm like, this inbox is still fucking empty.
I'm going to get better
to you when I get to you. No, it's fine. I understand life, because I get it. And that's ultimately what it is. I get it, and I get what you're saying. My interest in TV is waning a great deal more than it. Even Shogun, I thought about checking it out, but I was like, fuck it. I got enough stuff on the roster. I got The Ones Who Live. I got the two shows that I want to actually watch every week. I don't feel the need to slot things in that I'm not deeply interested in or even checking out, because I'm like, I'd rather I've been trying to get back into reading a little bit more. I got some books that I've been wanting to read, and I really be on the documentary tip like all the time, and it's just really interesting learning different subjects, getting into the true crime, just random stuff that is really, really interesting for me anyway. So I finding TV less and less, because it's like, oh, they're going to do this and again, they're going to do that again. Especially if it's set up in a way that's not bringing anything more exciting. And now they're just double downing on the superhero genre. And this, there's nothing that's a little different. Even Foundation Season 3, did you hear how they're ruining the shit out of that?
No, I don't. No. I try not to get spoiled, so I don't be watching stuff like that. But if they're going to ruin it, it's going to make me sad.
Well, no, it's just the behind-the-scenes stuff that's happening. Like, they lost their director. They lost the production. They had to stop it. Then it started up. Then they had to stop again. Just it seems like things behind the scenes.
Was it money-related?
I'm pretty sure there's money-related issues.
And that's the shit. And the CEOs making sure they get a raise is the problem. And I know this is going to sound fucked up, but I think that the actors should take, like, if you're a director and they're fucking with your money, leave. And when the show isn't as good and people leave, maybe they'll learn a lesson, because the real reason these shows are like, they're downgrading and paying people less isn't because they can't afford it. It's because they want to keep more money in their pocket, which I think is bullshit. So if they gotta take away the director and the show sucks and people stop watching, maybe that's what they need to learn. But
see, that's the problem. People are accepting mediocrity as the norm. I mean, the excitement some people get over the exact same premise every 3 months, nostalgia is winning. Every movie that comes out of Hollywood right now, and someone else was explaining it to me and I got their point, was that, well, you need to guarantee people into seats. You need something that's going to make them go there. And what seems to work every single time is the exact same thing that worked last time. The audience is going to they're not pulling out of the projects. Like, the good projects with all the money aren't getting the audiences like they should. It's the same placid shit. And that's, I mean, I saw the first episode of Shogun and it's okay. It's literally okay. It's nothing to run home about, but everyone's screaming about it like it's something special. And it's only because we have something in Japan and it's different. And it's like a Japanese Game of Thrones. So they're using just the same concept. They're just putting different people around it. So anything that takes a risk isn't getting rewarded. And so I don't think it like, we want to blame the executives, but also, why not if it's working?
Who else's fault is it? The executive? Because you yourself have stories. I know so many people who have ideas. I read on freaking fanfic and on Wattpad all the time a bunch of news stories people write. There's other options out there, but I mean, if you don't have the money to put it out there and the people that are with the money keep making the same shit, who else's fault is it? They could choose to be different. They just don't want to. And I feel like life sucks so bad, people just want to escape. And if I got to watch the same version of the same movie over and over again to get that escape, people are going to take it. And I feel like that's just where life is right now. Like, I need something to entertain myself because, life is hard. I know in about 2 hours I got to go to the grocery store. Who knows how much I'm going to spend, even though last week it was $200. This week it might be $300.
Just spent $200.
That's what I'm
saying.
Don't
even remind me. Like, don't remind me. I looked at my cabinet like, this shit still is empty.
I remember when $200 at the grocery store had your trunk full of bags. $200. You can put that shit on the front in the passenger seat. It's like two bags.
That's it. It don't make no sense. The inflation.
It's ridiculous. And it's fucking, it's depressing.
I watched NCIS Sydney, which I can't defend myself at all for watching because it was like not good.
Sydney, Australia?
Yes. So I can listen to them talk and their accents and listen to what the little Bob is and all the words they do.
Arnold was in it, I don't care.
I mean, you know, that would have been a good get. It had a black woman at the lead, so I was just trying to be interested. It wasn't great. But it's likely to get a second season. But that's the only show I've managed
to
watch.
It's on an American channel?
Yeah, it's on Paramount.
So another version of a show that we already have.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, so I'm not above. That's what do not take my criticisms to mean to say that I am not also subject to being fallen into it, because that's exactly what it is. It's just
that's where I'm at though, Christina. I've not been watching TV as much. It's like there are days that'll go by where I don't even watch TV. That's why, I mean, of course I'm busy. I mean, I'm in the busy season at my job, but also outside of that, it's just, it has to really be something I want to watch for me to exert that energy right now. So I don't have anything.
Afterwards, I'd be like, fuck, I don't want to talk about this. It's nothing to talk about.
And talk about, yeah.
Shit
and
happened.
So I just binged Avatar for 2 days because it was just like, all right, I just watch it. It doesn't matter what I think about it or not think about it. It's just a show I'm watching. So
I just, like I said, I don't be binging just because I can't. And it's nice to have something to tune into. But yeah, it is. I could see. I know exactly how you feel. Sometimes I watch shit and I'll be like, oh, shit, I'm supposed to send feedback. And then I'm like, oh, no. no, we're not watching that. And it's like a relief. Like, whew, okay, I'm gonna just go to the next one.
That's how I ended it. I was like, no, I'm not about that shit. I don't get to watch it. There's nothing I want to watch out there right now. I'm not about to go. I could go watch certain things, but I'm like, I just don't want to expand my energy on this. I want to put it somewhere else, anywhere else. And I can go down a YouTube rabbit hole for days, and even the monkey stuff has gotten old for me. I've moved on. Everything between true crime and what's going on in African countries and other countries have taken over my life, because they is just, man, I ain't never seen a jail worse than Madagascar. I mean, that one documentary took me out. I need people to see. I'm like, damn, look at these people.
I see. I'm telling you, I feel like our minds are so different. Like,
stop the monkeys.
I'm over the monkeys. Shit, the monkeys got born. I'm like, they ain't even fighting no more.
I feel like I've seen some really shitty things happen in America. I don't want to have, like, a really good example, like, I fell into a rabbit hole with the whole, like, Palestine Israel thing, and it was like super sad. I was like, I don't want to, like, it's bad enough being in America and seeing the shitty stuff happen here. I don't want to see what's going on in other countries. I don't think I have the mental capacity to an empathy reserve for anything else.
I'm with you, Mimi. That's as how fucked I am. Up I as say it this sound. All the time. No, I mean, that's how I am. I mean, I'm dealing with other people's problems so much during the day, you know, abuse, the worst thing humans can do to children, to each other. Mm-hmm. The last thing I want to do when I get home is watch it on TV, or that's why I don't like watching the news. I mean, it's not that it's not important. Like, I should know what's going on in the world, but it's like, I'm so over it by the time I get home. I need a break. Like,
can't take it.
Yeah, it's like, it's too much. I mean, and it's like, there's no relief from that. It's like, if I'm going to work and seeing it, and I come home and seeing it, and I go to work and seeing it, like, where is that break from all that mess that's going on out in the world?
I think that's something that people don't understand, is like, especially, I feel like it would be more towards you, but I do deal with cases like, you know, suicide attempts or severe depression. And it's like, it's a lot emotionally for you to take on other people's problems, you know, especially when you know you have your own problems in the back of your mind. But being around someone for like 12 hours, 14 hours, and trying to make them feel better, in addition to like trying to treat whatever else is going on, it's a lot. Like, it's draining. It can be exhausting, and being tired mentally is like, in addition to physically, is a completely different kind of thing to understand. Like, if you've never done it, it's hard to explain, but it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
Yep. And the last thing you want to do is watch something that's going to require a lot of thinking. At least me. Yeah. And so I just want some goofy fun and not have to think about it stuff sometimes. I have to, it's like, I can't watch Rick and Morty during the week. I've realized that. It's like, I don't even know what I just watched.
That's why I put it on the weekend, motherfucker. But I know, like, I
know there's nuggets. Leave me alone. Anyways.
No, I get what you're saying. Now, two things. I am a very hypersensitive person. Actually, that's why I'm an introvert, because I take on, I'm coming to terms with it more without feeling that I need to humble myself in saying as much. I'm really good at getting into a room and reading a lot of people and feeling them out on probably more of a personal level than they are comfortable with. And so anytime I'm in an interaction with anyone, it is emotionally draining, and I can, because I'm taking a lot into that. So I get what you're saying. For some reason, though, when it comes to watching some of the things that are in other countries, I don't feel that empathetic, as cruel as that may sound, that empathetic feeling because I'm not personally there involved. And so it becomes an objective analyzation of the situation and more of a reflection where it becomes more of just a mental experiment where it seems to add layers onto my life that somehow distresses a lot of the things that are going on in my life personally, because I can objectively view this and whatever I'm seeing there, I'm utilizing that into my life where now my stress is getting lower and I'm able to be in certain situations and kind of, I don't know, that wisdom is somewhere along in there and it influences decisions without sometimes me being fully aware of it. And sometimes I'll make a decision, then 3 weeks later I will think about it. I'm like, oh, that's because I watched this and that made me a little bit more consciously aware in a way that I wasn't trying to be. So I totally understand the not taking on, because I also read something else with everyone. What we do when we teach history is we focus it around leaders. So everyone thinks to make change or to do something effectively in this world, you need to be a leader. You need to be fully informed. You need to be out actively doing stuff and being involved. And that's why you get those Twitter Nazis and those TikTok crazed people that feel they need to put something out there into the world. And some of it's for better, some of it's not. There's nothing to say that there weren't those leaders in history didn't have a whole bunch of people below them that also made what they did possible. We just only reflect on that one person. And it's really not that one person. It's never that one person. It's always a collective. So to me, all of that, when I'm going out and looking at things like that in the world and deepen into that deep, this newfound interest in these subjects, it's only because it feels like my mind is opening more than to the limited experience I have in my life, going to work, coming back from work, doing this, doing that, doing that, doing this. Because I can very much sit and think about inflation all day, which is in my life, or I can look over here and it sounds terrible, but be like, well, at least I ain't got a fish out of this fucking hole to make a living. Like, this is life over here? This is fucked up. And it's a different kind of way, right, of looking at entertainment. Because, you know, some people are like, I want to look at this very dramatized show because this ain't my life. Mm-hmm. But in the fictional world, okay, yeah, we can entertain or indulge in our darker whatevers. So yeah, that's how I go into that. But I do not at all take on the problems of those places in my heart and my soul, because I'm not born there. I'm not raised there. And whatever feelings I feel, it's gonna become an outrage perspective of not being from there. It's an American perspective. Mm-hmm. So even some of the things I might be feeling is normalized in that culture. And I have to accept that because I don't have the right to judge it. But I do like looking at it as a specter in the background. Like, this shit good. Even though it's terrible. It's fucking terrible. All right, we're at 148. What else do you want? I'm definitely not about to bring up cults in America right now. I don't feel like it. So what else? I don't even feel like talking about the con, because we kind of already jumped into it, because I think you guys really hit. Well, I guess we can leave off with that. Where do you see society right now, like, with all the van life and where things are at? Like, do you think all of this is because yes, and all of this that's happening right now, do you think as a society, are we being more reactive than in the last 10 years as far as, are we just reacting to the mental anguish due to COVID, due to the Black Lives Matter movement, all of the things that made the 60s the 60s? Do you see that more of a comparison, or am I way off the mark?
I'm not familiar with the 60s.
That is not something you want to tell a historian buff like me. Not familiar with the 60s. I'm going to need that to be the next Jones Chronicles.
Yeah, I know stuff, but it's not... I don't know, to do a comparison.
I was going to say, if we're in a time loop and we're repeating ourselves, please let me know, because I feel like right now it's so ridiculous. Like, people who... I've literally seen people who say, like, in the situation of, like, Biden or whatever, like, Trump is terrible, I'm so over him, but if he goes against Biden, I'm gonna have to vote for him. Like, I for the life of me don't understand, like, where we are in this world, in this society. Like, why is this such a tough choice?
why is this the only choice?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. That, why are these two the only choices?
That's the way this stupid ass country is set up.
Exactly, like, that's the point.
The problem is so much deeper than the people.
That's what I'm saying. What do you feel about, like, narrowing down on that? What is wrong with people right now that we are reacting in this way, where we seem to be creating these situations with our own behavior?
That's why I said I don't know about... I can't speak on the reacting part. That I don't know. All I know is that we're in a situation where I feel like... I thought 2020 was as bad as it was going to get, but I'm starting to think that it's going to get worse. And like I said, I can't speak on the reacting, because I don't know if that's what it is. A pandemic was like 3 years ago. And if we're still there... How do we move from this? I don't feel like we're, like, the situation is, I don't think it's that, is all I'm saying. I just think that just humanity, I should just speak on the United States. There's just, people are just so stuck in their ways that compromise is impossible. So it's either all or nothing, and this is where we are.
I know that we're just now, I went to a conference at the end of last year, and we're just now talking about, you know, mental health and the effects that COVID had on mental health, had on the school system, had on the development of children. And so we're just in the beginning stages of truly understanding. And of course, Black Lives Matter, I'm like, all of that stuff, we're not going to really know what the effects of that was for a while.
Right.
And to me, we're seeing some of it now. And so we talked about the employees coming in. Part of that also is that some of their education was during COVID times, their formative education, whether that be the end of high school, into college, and some of that social isolation happened, the mental health aspect. I cannot tell you, because, you know, as y'all know, I'm a social worker, mm-hmm. How many people are coming in with mental health issues themselves, to where it's like that unresolved mental health issues, but yet you're going to be tasked with the mental health issues of clients.
Of other people.
It's like, and then they can't even handle their own mental health issues. So it's like,
I can see that.
Yes. And so it's like, it's just, I don't know. That's a loaded question to me, because I'm seeing the effects, with families, with children. Domestic violence is on the rise. Sexual abuse is on the rise where I'm at. I mean, I'm not going to talk about the whole country, and the stuff that we're seeing. Sexual abuse is on the rise. Domestic violence is on the rise. Substance abuse issues are on the rise. Mental health issues is on the rise. So I just feel like there's a systemic issue just in general in regards to mental health, in regards to social justice, in regards to, you know, how we approach things. And we're too busy, we're in the weeds with our focus is on the wrong things. and we're ignoring the things. Right.
Yes.
And we're ignoring the things that are really, really fracturing our country, and affecting our kids. And so I'm looking at it with my kids. You know, as y'all know, I got a 20 and a 21-year-old, and I'm like, it's just there's a disconnect there, and I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. So I don't. That's the only answer I have.
Yeah, I think
it's just a disconnect.
There is something. I think there's been something disconnected for a while, and that's why I go back to the 60s. This is why I love history, because I can timeline the shit. Because when I think about people coming back from the Vietnam War and how they were told, you know, if you can't get over this trauma, this PTSD, you know, you must just be weak.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And then those people took that trauma and they raised children. Mm-hmm. And those children raised children. And we're fucking here.
Yeah.
It's not that long ago. And now, once again, like those times in history, we've had another big global event that's rocked everyone's security, sense of security.
Yeah.
Everyone feels their mortality. That's why I think everyone's van lifing to get out there and be next to nature. Because I realize I'm going to die. And I'm not mentally healthy enough to process that fact. And I don't know what to believe in if you're not religious to help me assimilate to that idea. And so now we are seeing that culture and the trauma of that culture hit the next generation. And like you said, no one's focusing on that. We're talking about an idiot with orange hair, with problems, a senior citizen who didn't even want the fucking job to begin with, but because there was nothing else and no one else that anyone else was willing to put in, he was there. And has been doing the best he fucking can do. Honestly, I don't know why anyone had any expectations to begin with. It's just, that's what I'm saying. It's like, how do you fuck up and then be mad at the person for fuck? Man, come on. If you didn't know that that man was a senior citizen that needed to be in a nursing home when you voted for him, then you were not acknowledging the facts. That's it. It doesn't matter how fucked up he does. You knew it before you got there. If whatever happens in the next 4 years, you knew it before you got there. The worst you can do is just not be paying attention and just, like we said last episode, get into the elections that actually fucking matter. But will anyone do that? Because that's not popular. That's not going to get your attention. That's not polarizing. If you did watch the newest episode of Rick and Morty, you would have known there was a plot theme about that. Where he made a line where people on Earth all think that they're special because being normal is mediocre. And that was such a great line to sum up our society as a whole, is that we from the get-go are trying to all come up and get something called status. And that means more than anything. And until we can actually change that mindset and actually get some mental health help out there, it's just gonna keep going, because like you said, we ain't healed from the scars previously. Maybe if we do something like reparations, maybe if we do something like acknowledging the Vietnam crimes and doing more stuff out there that pushes us forward instead of consistently being pulled backwards, we might get somewhere. I think people just don't know who and what to believe in anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one there.
I know I don't.
Yeah, I sure don't. I really don't. I believe in the fact that life... I'm starting to just believe that death is probably a blessing more than it's a curse. Because then I don't have to have all of this shit anymore. I don't have to worry about it. It's gonna happen. So what do you want to leave this off on, other than my bleak fucking...
That was depressing.
That was depressing as fuck. That went all the way dark in a whole level.
On that note, like,
it was a little dark. It was a little dark.
But it means that every day that I get up, I'm fucking enjoying my goddamn self. Shit. Because... Ain't no coming back from the dirt nap.
Matt, no! I don't have anything.
Don't well, let's take us on out then. Shine, okay. Mimi, it's been real. Until next time.
Mm-hmm. Peace. Hair grease.
Black Girl Magic.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Why is this never working?